Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey, welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhag Fenelon, and it is so good to be back with you on a couple of counts. I'm just back from Iowa. The Diocese of Des Moines, Iowa asked me to come in and do a retreat for their catechetical leaders. That was awesome. What a great experience it was for all of us. We really formed kind of a unit there. And it was they were great people to work with, and they were very happy to have me there. So it was a mutual feeling. You know, you can't hear right now the background that's going on, but right now as I record, it is cold and it is so windy. It's kind of gloomy. We're expecting a storm, and you know, the house is rattling, and I think it's the perfect setting to record a podcast about the beginning of Lent, about Ash Wednesday and moving into Lent. So God's got the scene set for me just perfectly. I'm also really happy to be back in my headset, which was, well, if you've been following the podcast, you know that I had a little bit of an issue with a couple of defective headsets. Well, now I've got headset number 3. And I'm expecting it's going to work just great. So, all ready to roll. As I record this, we're looking at Ash Wednesday, which means time to get our Lenten strivings underway. And so, I chose for today the topic of spiritual poverty, which I think is a term that can be misunderstood, or maybe people haven't even heard it. Maybe you've never heard of it before. And I think it's important. It's a very important concept, and I think it will be very helpful for you in your Lenten striving. I know it's something that I'm going to be working on this Lent, and I'm definitely going to be checking in with you and with myself about that in the podcast in the next few weeks. Before we go deeper, let me express my gratitude to you for your support and prayers. I know I say it every podcast. I mean it every podcast. Thank you for your support and prayers. Thank you for helping me spread word about the show and for helping me to lead the world to Christ through Mary, because I can't do it without you. I can't do it without your help spreading the word about this podcast. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on, as we talk about and consider Lent, upon us. I ask you for grace for all of us to be diligent children and to follow Christ's lead in choosing what to do this Lent and how to do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be together in this podcast, for the equipment, for listeners, for all of the support that I receive, for the inspiration to do the podcast. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Mother Mary, please, I thank you for urging me to speak and nudging my listener to tune in today to this podcast. Mother Mary, oversee my words and inspirations. Please, please give us open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that you and your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, have for us today. In Jesus' name and through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, spiritual poverty. I just talked about this actually twice in a row. I had the retreat in Iowa I just told you about, Diocese of Des Moines. I also had a retreat just before that in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. So I've been a busy lady. I've had three trips so far this month, and we're not even to the end of the month of February. So very excited. But this idea of spiritual poverty, I was prompted to do a podcast about it because I saw the reception of my audiences when I spoke about it and the eagerness with which they listened and also the eagerness they had to apply what I had taught them. So I think that this will be something important for you as well, particularly at this Lent as we enter into it. The first thing that we have to talk about is, what is this thing called spiritual poverty? Well, here's the scoop. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," he was talking about far more than whether we own anything of material value. Now, if you're not familiar, that's one of the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, notice he says poor in spirit. So, most certainly, there's great merit in forgiving things of this world and living in simplicity. Those who take religious vows make a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. All right, and these are, that's more than a solemn promise. That is a vow that they are bound to give up the things of this world. But that's only the tip of the proverbial iceberg. So to be poor in spirit means to live in a state of spiritual poverty. It's embracing humility and weakness, meekness, love of God, and love of neighbor. So it's a way of embracing the gift that we were given when we were baptized. And the gift that we were given was to become a member of the priestly, prophetic, and royal people of God. It's in the Catechism, number 783, if you're interested in looking it up. It says, Jesus Christ is the one whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and established as priest, prophet, and king. The whole people of God participates in these three offices of Christ and bears the responsibilities for mission and service that flow from them. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. Look it up. CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 783, so that you can see it. Sometimes seeing it is also more helpful than only hearing it. this office of Christ that we are given, we exercise in the way that we respond to the world around us. That is, our attachment to God, our attachment to our fellow man, and our attachment to creation. So spiritual poverty means striving to have holy, well-ordered attachments. And we can do this in three ways: priestly, prophetic, and heroic attachments. Now, it's not that complicated. And I'm going to give you some examples of what that looks like in daily living. And then you'll see that the concept is actually fairly easy. So, when we're talking about priestly attachments, in the way that we view the world, the way that we respond to the world around us. Okay, think about the priest at Holy Mass. What does he do? He praises God, then he offers everything to God and consecrates everything back to God. Now, we're not ministerial priests, unless you are a member of the clergy and you're listening in. But outside of Holy Mass, let's put it that way, outside of Holy Mass, we exercise that priestly ministry in the way that we respond to the world around us by offering and consecrating everything back to God. Now, when one of our children was a member of the military, and his term of service has since finished, but when he was, before his last deployment to the Middle East, the families were allowed to travel to the fort, the camp where they were stationed here in the U.S. and to spend 5 days with their soldier before they shipped out to the Middle East. So our family went down to El Paso and spent these 5 days. We planned a day trip for each one of those 5 days. We wanted to make memories as a family. Well, one of the things that everybody wanted to do, except for me, was to drive up into the mountains of El Paso. I am terrified of heights. I hate heights, but I went for the sake of the family. You know, I didn't want to be a party pooper, and it was important. It was important that we all went together. So I went along, and we drove up into the mountains, and we stopped at an overlook at one point. And the family wanted to get out and look out over the beautiful mountains. Now, I was petrified, quite frankly. I didn't even want to get out of the car. But I did it for their sake. And I forced myself to go up to the edge of the fence there and gaze out like everybody else would. I wouldn't look down, but I would look out at the other mountains. And you know what happened? I was captivated by the beauty. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but gaze at this beautiful scene in front of me. And I realized, wow, you know, God created this beautiful scene in front of me. And I praised God for them, for those mountains, for that beautiful scene. And then I came to the realization that, hey, wait a minute here. If God could create such a marvel of nature, then God in his greatness could bring our son home safely. And when our son did indeed return home safely, I remember those mountains. and I praised God again. You see, that's a priestly attachment. Giving praise for and then offering back to God. That's priestly attachments. Now, let's talk for a minute about prophetic attachments. So this is seeing the world around us for its symbolic as well as its practical value. St. Augustine calls it hints from God. And St. Bonaventure calls it God's footprints in daily life leading us to his fatherly heart. So the world around us speaks to us both from God and about God. Now, my example, if you've been following me on social media, and I'm sure I've mentioned it in other podcasts, we have a little dog that we call Ms. Daisy. She and I love to go on walks together along the shore of Lake Michigan. We love that. There's a beautiful path there, not too far from our home. We love it. Well, I was on an evening walk with Miss Daisy along the shore of Lake Michigan. And as we were walking, I looked out over the lake and I could see that the lake and the horizon met in this misty sort of way. It's kind of a misty evening. So if I looked with a critical eye at the horizon, I could see a crisp, very clear line. But if I looked with a relaxed view, and when I relaxed and just let myself take it in, it had this muted kind of undefined effect. And the line changed back and forth depending upon whether I was looking at it critically or in a relaxed way. And I came to the realization that, hey, you know, that's how all of life is, isn't it? If I look at everything with a critical view, it divides the sky or the divine from the human or the lake. I can't see how they work together because I've mechanistically separated them. But viewing the world with a relaxed view, taking it in and letting it come to me, that allows the divine and the human to blend and work together. You see how that works? God speaks to us through the world around us. Now, in regard to heroic attachments, now, you know, that can be anything very big from, you know, renunciation. You know, my in-laws had 12 children, and they made the decision in the spirit of poverty to not have a car. That's a heroic attachment. So when they really needed a car for something in particular, they would rent a car. But for the most part, it was bikes and bus. And, you know, granted that was some time ago when it was a little easier to do that, but it was not easy for their family whatsoever. Okay, so that was a heroic attachment. But we can do this on a much smaller scale. What am I talking about here, this heroic attachment? It's divine indifference. Heroic attachment is divine indifference. It's a balance. It's a balance between attachment and detachment. Okay, now granted, we do need certain material things. Okay, we need food, we need shelter, we need income, we need transportation. But we can intentionally foster independence from them in our attitude. And I'll give you a really simple example. Really simple. So, as I mentioned, my husband comes from a big family, and my mother-in-law's house, his dad died when everybody was pretty young, many, many, many years ago before I even came to the family. Anyway, so mom's house, my mother-in-law's house was like Grand Central Station. It was the natural gathering place for all the family members. So I was hanging out there one day, and I think I probably was waiting. I think it was before we were married, and I probably was waiting for my husband, my then fiance, to come home from work or school. In any case, I was there hanging out, and one of my sisters-in-law came in, and she went to the kitchen because, you know, it was free, you know, free, very, you know, we were, let's just say we could, you know, if we were hungry, we could get something to eat. It was home. All right. So she comes in and she goes in the kitchen and she opens the refrigerator door and she's looking and she's digging around. She's digging around some more. And then she steps back and she gives this great big long sigh and she says, "No Miracle Whip? Well, then I guess I can't have a sandwich." Wait a minute. Think about this. Eat the sandwich without the Miracle Whip. Practice heroic attachment. Where's your divine indifference? You know, what an opportunity to make that little sacrifice and offer it to somebody. Offer it for someone. And to renounce just a little bit of something that you like ever so much for the sake of the kingdom. No, I don't really have to have a sandwich with Miracle Whip on. I can offer this to God as a sacrifice and I can do this. Okay, that's a heroic attachment. I don't really need that thing. I could scale back or do without. Okay, that's what that's all about. Heroic attachments. So you've got these three ways of living spiritual poverty. Priestly, prophetic, heroic attachments. And there are both large and small ways that you can practice this throughout Lent. Because what we're looking for, what we strive for when we're talking about spiritual poverty, is that meekness, that humility. Let others go before me. Don't take the best and the first. All of those things. I don't really need everything I have. I don't need this thing I want to buy. That's spiritual poverty. It's not so much a matter of giving things up, especially not things that we need, but rather of adjusting our attitude toward the world around us. It's discerning the things that we don't really need. To daily praise God and offer all things back to Him. To see the world for its symbolic as well as its practical value. To practice a divine indifference toward material things. Now, I just want a footnote here. Is, you know, you can also practice a divine indifference toward people and situations, by the way. So, people who aren't the best influence on you. Maybe Lent is a great time to develop a divine indifference toward them. No, I don't really need to hang around with them. They're not good for me. Same could be true of media, social media, entertainment, okay? But it's a divine indifference. I don't have to have that. And when we strive to be truly meek and humble, we begin to realize that everything we are, do, and have is completely dependent upon God and God alone. And from that springs holy, ordered attachments to God, our fellow man, and to creation. That's spiritual poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So, my friends, my dear friend, it's time to close the show already. Already. Is that amazing? Let's remember throughout this week to live with that attitude, in that spirit of poverty, to really strive for spiritual poverty. Hey, thanks for listening. If you'd like to know more about me, if you'd like to become part of my ministry, subscribe to my newsletter, invite me to speak, visit margefenelon.com. That's margefenelon.com. Lots of good stuff waiting there for you. You can contact me there as well. I love to hear from my listeners and readers. You could also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. I think I'm in a few other places. Anyway, just search Marge Fenelon and you'll find me. I can't wait to hear from you. Before you go, I ask that you please help me bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with the people in your life. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you, and may our Mother Mary.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.